Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today, this the second Sunday of Easter, is our gospel lesson, John chapter 20, beginning at the 19th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, the people who know about such things tell us that every Sunday in the church year is supposed to have a theme that joins together all of the readings, a theme that joins together with them the collect of the day. Actually, the name collect means like to collect everything together, a theme for the day. The people who know such things will tell you that's the case. I will tell you that I don't always see the theme on each particular Sunday. It's not always obvious, but some are. Last Sunday was Easter. The theme, of course, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Soon we'll have the day of Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Then there's the second Sunday in Advent, which is always John the Baptist Sunday. There's the second Sunday in Lent, which is the temptation of the Lord Jesus by Satan, those three temptations. And then there's today, the second Sunday of Easter. A pattern appears, the second Sundays. The second Sunday of Easter, which is Doubting Thomas Sunday. Doubting Thomas Sunday, although we don't call it that because that doesn't have a good ring to it. But Doubting Thomas Sunday, we're going to call it that. And maybe you noticed something when the gospel lesson was read. There's something strange about it. And what's strange about it is, why didn't the Lord wait till all of his disciples were gathered together before he appeared to them and announced his resurrection? Why didn't he wait? Because the Lord knows all things. Wouldn't it have been more efficient to get everybody gathered together and then make the announcement? But now you have Thomas left out. Wouldn't it have been better if the Lord had put it on his heart to be there in that upper room with the other disciples? Wouldn't it have been better if the Lord had directed his steps or choreographed his day, as many a time you can testify that he's done for you? Why didn't he do that for Thomas? So that everybody was gathered together. Now the Lord looks around and says, we're all here? Very good. Look, I'm raised from the dead. I have an announcement to make. But the Lord did it differently. And although his purposes are his own, these things happened, it seems, for all of the Thomases who would come down the same road over the years. And that's why these things are written down. And there have been a lot of them. And you recognize them. Sometimes you see the Thomas when you're looking in the mirror first thing in the morning. And what is Thomas like? What is he like? When we say Doubting Thomas, that's too simple. There's always a much deeper thing going on there. What's the deeper thing going on? You know, Thomas, let's be honest, he's just a little bit smarter than the average person. Thomas is just, honestly, a little more discerning. Thomas is proud to be a free thinker. Thomas is proud to be a standalone intellect. He is proud to be no fool, no soft head, ready to be persuaded by anything. Thomas is a man who will have to be persuaded by science and reason and evidence and fact. Thomas almost talks like a politician. Did you notice his words? And I quote, what does he say? He says, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and unless I place my finger into the mark of the nails and I place my hand into his side, I will never believe. What a speech. Running for political office. I will never believe. This is a Christian talking? I will never believe, about the strongest unfaith statement in the whole Bible. What's the man saying? He's saying, I'm different. I'm better. I'm superior. I'm cut from a different cloth. I thank thee, God, that I'm not like other men. Or maybe you are, and you're giving us a headache. It's just that you don't know it yet. And so what does the good Lord have to do? Well, we got this little bird twittering away in the trees. We're going to have to flush that bird out of the bushes, out of the trees. We're going to flush you out of there, Thomas. We're going to make you stand out in front of the whole crowd. Stand out different from the whole crowd. Not to give you glory, but to hold you up and preach a message. And what's the message? The message is this sin is not going to hide among us anymore. The message is believing what you see does not make you a superior man or a superior woman. It makes you a dependent person. It makes you an enslaved person. Enslaved to something less than God's holy word. We sing a hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Well, here's a man who's basing his hope on something far less than that. Something less than what God has said. Now we know that Thomas does get to see eventually, and then he believes. But what are the Lord Jesus' words to him? The Lord is glad he believes, but there's a little bit of a reproach there. Jesus said to him, have you seen, have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, Martin Luther, the man that our church is named after, was known for saying that Christianity is not an eye religion where you use your eyes. He said, no, it's not an eye religion based on seeing. It's an ear religion based on hearing, based on what God has said. Faith is hearing, not seeing. Or we could say a Christian sees with their ears. And that may sound strange, but it's not. Not in the least bit. A couple of years back, our little dog passed away. He was 16, 17, I don't remember, he was old. And he was just a little thing, 7.5 pounds. And he loved to hike. He loved to get out in the woods. He loved to hike. And I would admire him because we would be hiking and we would oftentimes go through, not on a trail, we'd just bushwhack. And he'd sit there, try to push through all the bushes and to find his way to keep up with us. And he loved to hike. But how did he find his way? He was so small, he couldn't see around the bushes, he couldn't see around the trees. And yet I remember one hike, my son and I were together with him, and we went up, bushwhacked us up to some place, and I said, how do we get back to our car? And my son said, let him tell us. And so he just said, Knadel, that was his name, means a dumpling. It does, it's Yiddish for dumpling, matzo ball. And he just said, Knadel, go. And the little dog took off down the hill. He would wait for us, but he took off down the hill going this way, this way, this way, this way, right back to our car, exactly. How did he see? He couldn't see through the bushes. He couldn't see around the trees. How did he see? He saw with his nose. He had eyes in his nose. He saw with his nose. Well, a Christian doesn't see with their nose. We see with our what? With our ears. We hear what the Lord has said to us. Book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, today's lesson. Though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. If you look at God's holy word, you recognize that in life, like our little dog, you got bushes and trees in your way, you can't find your way, you're too small, you're too little. But what do you have? He had his nose, and we have our what? We have our ears. Of course, now God's word is for the lowly. It's not for the lofty. It's for the lowly, like those who are like our little dog. But God's word is for those who do see with their ears, even if not with their eyes. And God's word is for those who know their sin. God's word is for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. God's word is for those who know that the righteousness comes from Jesus and is Jesus, and the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And God's word is for those who know that believing what you see does not make you a superior person. It makes you a dependent person. It makes you an enslaved person, enslaved to something less than the word of God. Only what you can see, only what you can reason out, but never what God has said. And so Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet what? Still have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. No word of God, you have no blessing. No ears, no blessing. No Jesus, no blessing. But if you have the word of God, you have blessing. If you have ears, you have blessing. If you have the Lord Jesus, you have blessing. And together with those, you can testify, if you've been a Christian any length of time, that God does sometimes let you see. Sometimes you say, you know what? All this stuff that just happened here, that was a hand of God. It couldn't be anything else. And you recognize, you see with your eyes what he does. But most of the time in this life, we see what? With our ears. We listen to what he said until the day when we see God face to face. And then we can look. We can see. We're redeemed. We're pardoned. We're washed clean in Jesus. We have obtained the outcome of our faith, today's lesson, the salvation of our souls. Not by seeing, but by hearing, by listening, by believing, and by believing, having life in his name. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.